Merry Christmas. I hope you've been having a blessed Christmas this Christmas day, which lasts 8 full days. It's the octave of Christmas because the world, the fallen world, was created in 7 days. It was on the 8th day that God recreated the world. And so these two key events in the recreation of that, the incarnation and the resurrection, are celebrated in octaves, 8 days of celebration. Today is as much Christmas Day, Christmas morning, as it was on the 25th, from the 25th all the way through January 1st. On this weekend as well, the Knights of Columbus, there's this icon which you see over here on the Marian altar of St. Joseph and the child Jesus. And it's an icon which travels throughout the different churches of North Dakota. And this is the weekend that our Knights of Columbus Council has it. And so I placed it here on this altar because it's Joseph and the child, along with Mary and the child as well. And it's the Holy Family. And this is the Sunday in which we celebrate the Holy Family itself. And that central, at the very heart of God's plan of salvation, is the family. From the very beginning to the end, the very central place that God works his salvation is within the family. And also at the center of Satan's plan of destruction is the family as well. From the very beginning of his rebellion until the very end, the central place that Satan has his plan of destruction is within the family as well. For so goes the family, so goes society, and so goes the church as well. And it makes sense, right? That if God desires to work his salvation into the family, that the enemy would attack there as well. And the thing that God has given us, which John Paul II calls the school of love within the family, he calls it the school of love because it's within the family that the lessons are learned from the youngest ages of prayer, of sacrifice, and of forgiveness, which those are the very things, prayer, sacrifice, forgiveness, that foils the enemy's plan and that draws us closer to God. And that takes place in the school of love, which is the family. Friday is the feast day. It was on the 27th of St. John the Beloved, John the Evangelist, who is the youngest of all the apostles. He was called by Jesus when he was a young man, in his young to mid-20s, when he was called from the seashore to follow Jesus. And he was the only apostle who was sent out on Pentecost who wasn't martyred, who didn't die for his faith in that way. And he's the only apostle, they say the reason he wasn't martyred is because he was the only apostle who stood by the cross with Jesus as well, that he showed his desire to give his life for the Lord. And it was at the foot of the cross, as he stood there, that he received from Jesus Mary as our mother on behalf of the whole church. And Mary received him as her son. But John, he wasn't martyred, but he lived to an old age. And St. Jerome, 300 years after John died, around the year of 100, St. John died at about the year 400, St. Jerome wrote of John's last days. And he wrote that blessed John lived to an extreme old age. And at the end of his life, it was only with difficulty that his disciples could carry him to church. Nor was he able to gather together more than a few words. It became his custom to utter only the single sentence, "My children love one another." At length, the disciples and brethren grew weary of always hearing the same thing and said to him, "Master, why do you keep on saying this?" And John, with that true greatness of his, replied, "Because it is the Lord's commandment, and if only it is kept, it is enough." Little children, love one another. And where is the first and most important place that is learned? Learning how to love one another. It's within the family. My parents today celebrate their 51st anniversary. We're going to Bismarck. My dad's in the hospital, if you could pray for him. But we're having a mass in the hospital there for them on their 51st wedding anniversary. And I think they spent most of those years trying to keep us kids from tearing each other's heads off. But it was at the young age, and it was within the family, that all those most important lessons are learned. You learn how to forgive one another. It's amazing how some of the worst treatment that we can give is to those closest to us. Complete strangers, even if we're impatient and worn down, we can pull it together and be sort of kind to them, just enough. But when we get home, man, sometimes it's our families that get unleashed on. But it's within the family that we learn what actual forgiveness is and also what it costs. It's within the family that a person learns what it means to sacrifice. That which is at the heart of love, and it's the highest form of love, to sacrifice. The hardest lessons in learning to love one another, dear children, is within the family. And finally, what is it? What is the final earthly thing that you hope to be surrounded by in your last days and your last hours on this earth? What's the final thing you hope to be surrounded by? It's by your family. Being cared for. Being in their presence. From the very beginning to the very end, it's the family that is the school of love, where we learn what that actually is, what love is. And so much of that in learning what love is learning who God is as well and what it means to live as a Christian. It's where love is lived out. And it's lived out through faith and prayer. Parents, grandparents, when your little kids were born, there's so much you want to be able to give them. There's so much you want to be able to give them, and so often it's things that you yourself didn't have. But the most important thing, the only important thing in the end, that you can give your children is often something that you already have, and it's to give them the gift of faith. It's good to desire to give your children a good education, leave them a little inheritance, give them good life lessons, memories. But nothing else matters. Nothing else matters if you don't give your children the gift of faith. Because giving your children the gift of faith is giving them that which opens the door to eternal life for us. So that the years you spend together as a family isn't just the few years on this earth, but that you might spend eternity together in glory of God and in praise of Him in heaven. Which is what the whole family is meant to help to form in us. A a desire for heaven, and the virtues and the holiness of heaven. Nothing else matters except for making sure that you give your children the gift of faith. And that means learning above all how to love God, which is keeping God at the center of your family, which means prayer is at the center of your family. Praying together as a family. And to never lose faith either. For those of you who your children or your grandchildren have left the practice of the faith, I'll repeat every year, just as St. John at the end of his life repeated ad nauseum the same reminder, little children, love one another, to remind you on this feast of the Holy Family, never, ever, ever, ever tire of praying for your children, especially those who have left the practice of the faith. Never lose heart and become discouraged, but instead to have faith and the confidence in God. It's an urgency because it's the question of eternal life, but it's a confidence in just every day and throughout the day placing your children into God's hands. Lord, I've done everything I can to pass the faith on to my children. I place them into your hands. God, have mercy on me for the times and the ways I didn't do everything I can for my children. But right now, with faith and confidence, I place them into your hands, Lord. Because I know that's where they need to be. And that is where I place them, knowing and trusting in the power of God's mercy and in the power of prayer. Never grow tired of praying for your children and sacrificing for them. It's the beautiful thing within the family. And it's the school of love that they're formed in, and the school of love that till your dying breath, you will be placing them into God's hands. My little children, love one another. I'm going to close with a prayer that St. John Paul II gave to the church, as he was a pope who spoke and he wrote so often about the family and the absolute centrality of that, and the centrality of faith within the family. And as I do, I want you to call to your mind, to your heart, in a very intentional way, who you want to pray for in your family, or which people, particularly those who have strayed from the faith, that in this prayer we place them into God's hands, and we ask for his blessing and his grace, and for the strengthening in your own heart of hope and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, from you every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Father, you are love and life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, born of woman, and through the Holy Spirit, fountain of divine charity, grant that every family on earth may become for each successive generation a true shrine of life and love. Grant that your grace may guide the thoughts and actions of husbands and wives for the good of their families and of all the families in the world. Grant that the young may find in the family solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love. Grant that love, strengthened by the grace of the sacrament of marriage, may prove mightier than all the weaknesses and trials through which our families may sometimes pass. Through the intercession of the Holy Family of Nazareth, grant that the Church may fruitfully carry out her worldwide mission in the family and through the family. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, amen.